Just because we can do it. Let's stand up one more time, you young folks, you young, vibrant, healthy, sharp-minded people. Oh, yeah, I did. My wife just made me remember this. Next Sunday, if you're available to after church, if you have time, we're going to take all the decorations down. And how many people know they're a lot easier to take down than they are to put up, right? So if you got time, we're going to do that. It'll be fun. It'll be fun. Amen. It'll be fun. Amen. So, Father, we just come to you in the name of Jesus. We thank you for the word of God. We thank you for the power of your word, Lord, that changes lives. Thank you, Father God. There is only one book in the entire universe that truly changes a life, and it's the word of God. So, Father, we thank you for the word. We thank you for eyes to see, ears to hear, what you want to speak to each individual. Thank you, God, that you're still of healers of people's bodies, a healer of people's hearts. Thank you, Father, you still set the captive free. Lord, we thank you that you strengthen. Father God, we thank you, Father, that you break depression. Lord, we thank you that you can break anxiety and fear, Father God. We thank you the Word of God says that you've not given us a spirit of fear, but a power and a love and a sound mind. So, Father, we thank you, Father, for arresting the enemy as he would try to speak to anybody this morning. We thank you, Lord, that his mouth is shut and he is the defeated foe in the name of Jesus, and we declare that, Father. So we thank you for rhythms of grace and peace and strength flowing during the service. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. Just to get a little blood, you know, flowing, get that heart rate up just for a second. Amen. Everybody got a good night's rest. Happy New Year. 2023. Wow. Wow, 2023. You know, we're almost a quarter of the way through the 21st century. That's how I kind of look at it. Isn't that amazing? So, you know, how the year's time fly by. I don't know what year you guys finished high school or college or whatever, but I remember me being 1985. I never thought the year 2000 would come, you know? You know, and Y2K was going to be the end of everything. You remember that? But here we are. And we made it through year 2022, regardless of all the crazy things going on in the world. God is still on the throne over this world, and he's still on the throne of my heart. How about you? The most important thing is I know that he's on the throne of my heart, leading and guiding my life. How about you? Amen? That's the important thing. And so, amen. Good to have you this morning. And so, if the title of my message this morning, young people, you're awake, amen.
Yeah.
I like looking at them. New Year's resolve, not New Year's resolution. New Year's resolve, amen. So, resolution. You've heard of New Year's resolutions, right? Have anybody here ever made New Year's resolutions? I quit that a long time ago. I don't know about you, but I started quitting it a long time ago. So, you know, resolution means a decision or determination. This is resolution, to make a firm resolution to do something. It's kind of like gritting it out. I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to do this. You try to convince your mind and your soul that we're going to do this. We're gonna change something. You ever heard that I'm going to turn over a new leaf? You ever heard that saying? I'm not sure what the other side of the leaf looks like. I mean, if a leaf is dead, I bet the other side of it's dead too, right? If a leaf is alive, the other side of it would be alive. And then resolve, just a little bit of a different, but it says to follow a course of action, firmness of purpose, purpose of intent, determination, but it's determination in our, what we're talking about, to follow Christ, a Christ-given course. A determination not in my ability, but a determination of something from my spirit, man, a determination that God does in my life, but it doesn't have to be on January 1st. It can be this morning, by the way, in an area of your life that the Holy Spirit would speak about. But I want to have a heart of resolve this year. I don't know about you. I want to have a harder resolve. As a believer in Jesus Christ, as a follower of the one true God, amen? A resolve to hear him, the one who lives in me, amen? I don't know about you. Does anybody here, does the Holy Spirit live in you? Amen. Amen. So no, New Year's resolutions, that's willpower, determination, focus, right? Goal setting. By the way, there's a reason why I don't do these New Year's resolutions. I learned a long time ago when you become a seasoned citizen, amen? A seasoned citizen. You know, I learned to not try to turn over a new leaf. And we mentioned what that means. I looked at some statistics. We're talking about New Year's resolutions. 38.5% of U.S. adults set New Year's resolutions every year. That's what they say. Survey says, survey says 38.5 people. And then this shows you something, 59% of young adults, 18 to 34. We got any young people in the house? Amen, 18 to 34. Some of you I know are coming up against that 34. You're getting close. So 59% of young adults, 18 to 34, have New Year's resolutions. Which makes up the largest demographic that sets these goals. And then it says people over 55, that's a few of us in the house, right? Are three times less likely to have resolutions compared to younger adults. You know, there's something to say about experience. There's something that's about saying, hey, I tried that, been there, done that, bought a t-shirt and a hat, you know that, right? And realize that doesn't work. So people over 55 are three times less likely to have resolutions compared to younger adults. The older someone becomes, the less likely they will have New Year's resolutions. 48% want to exercise more. You know, of those resolutions, what are these resolutions? These people that make resolutions. 48% want to exercise more, making it the most popular New Year's resolution. The top three are all health related. 23% quit in the first week. Right? And only 36% make it past the first month. 9% successfully keep their New Year's resolutions. Wow, 9%. That's not much. Did you know that? And the truth of the matter is, as I begin, that when we want to change something in our life, when it's dependent on just your willpower, much of the time, except for those 9%, it usually doesn't end out working long term, working out the way you want it. I mean, if your ideal today is, hey, I'm going to eat much healthier, it can last until next Christmas season. I've seen it, I've done it, I've been there. So these can last for time, but once again, they're things that happen in our own ability and strength. How many people know that, as we'll talk here, that God's ability to strengthen you in a resolve to walk with him happens from your spirit, man? Happens from the Spirit of God that's in you. That happens from him who's greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. So there's a resolve for you and I that comes from the very being that created us. Amen. Do you believe that? But let me just talk about a few things. And I know some of you I've heard this before, and it may not apply to you. It might be preaching to the choir, but a few people need to hear this morning, amen? And God can take something I say, and it can hit the mark in your heart this morning. So let me just say this. You know this, but the number one thing, as far as 2022, some good, great things could have happened, amen? And maybe some things that weren't so good could have took place in your heart. But let me just say this through the Spirit of God and through his Holy Spirit this morning is that the past is the past. See, 2022 is in the books. Did you know in all of history, we will never see another year, 2022. It is gone. Can't bring it back. Can't dig it up. Can't pull it up out of the grave. There's nothing we can do about year 2022. All we can do is look forward, and we'll talk about that. So the past of the past. So I want to bring out some scriptures that the the great apostle Paul brought up about the past and the future, by the way. Philippians 3, 12 through 16. Philippians 3 says, now that I have already, he says, he's talking about what God has done in his heart, where he's been, where the church has been. He says, not that I have already grasped it. This is Paul. Not that I have grasped it all or have already become perfect. He wasn't perfect, was he, Apostle Paul? He's saying it right here. He says, not that I've grasped it. He'll talk about what he means. He says, not that I've already become perfect, but I press on if I may also take hold of that for which I was even taken hold of by Christ Jesus. See, that's a profound statement. He's pressing on. He said, God has gotten a hold of me. God is, obviously, he's an apostle. He's a mature man of God. He's seen miracles. And he's still saying, man, I haven't grasped everything. He says, but I know something has grasped me. It's the Spirit of God. It's the love of God. It's the goodness of God. The grace of God has grasped me. And although I don't quite understand everything that's happening in my life, I know something has gotten a hold of me. And that's a good place, even in the middle of not understanding even maybe what's going on in our world or even what's going on in our nation, or maybe you might be thinking, I'm not even sure what's going on in my family. But when you know God has got a hold of your heart, you know, amen, you can be with confidence saying, I may not know what's going on, but I know that something has grasped my heart, and I am yearning to grasp a hold of it like it's grasped me. And even the great Apostle Paul says, man, I don't quite get what's grasped me. I don't quite understand this goodness, this love, this grace, this power, this anointing in God. But he says, no, one thing, I'm looking forward. I am looking into what grasped me. Hallelujah. 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 Verse 13, it says, brothers and sisters. So is he talking to anybody specific? Well, he was talking to that church in Philippi, but yet he's talking to you and I this morning, January 1st, 2023. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself of having taken hold of it yet. Man, it's okay when you still got some struggles in your life. See, God hasn't let go of you. He still got you. Don't think because you're struggling with some things, you haven't grasped some things, or you don't understand some things, you're confused about some things, amen? Even Apostle Paul had those times in his life where he didn't understand why he was maybe in prison so often, or understand what was going on in a church where things would seem sometimes, even like in the church of Galatia, things were falling apart. He says, you perplex me. What's going on there? But yet he goes back and says, this has grasped me. God has grasped me, and I don't quite understand what's going on, but yet I press on. He says, brothers and sisters, I do not regard myself as having taken hold of it yet, but one thing I do. Amen. Say one thing. Forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead. Let me just say this morning. I have decided in my heart, forgetting those things behind, and I am stretching forward for what lies ahead. I can't do anything about yesterday. I can't do anything about even what happened 5 minutes ago. I can't do anything about what happened when I was at 4:30 this morning saying, am I going to get some sleep today? But even that is behind me. I'll pretend I didn't hear Russ. Amen. So that first letter A, you know, you have the righteousness of Christ, but it's okay. I can tell you one thing, like Paul, you're not perfect, and that's okay. I'm not making excuses, but as we press forward, as we are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus, even Paul saying, man, I can't do anything about the past. I still have things that perplex me, but still I'm going to press forward in him. I'm going to press forward into what he has for me. I'm going to press forward to what he has for my family. I'm going to press forward to what he has for the body of Christ. I'm going to press forward to what he's going to do in this world through you and I. Hallelujah. He says, man, I haven't taken hold of it yet. Philippians 3:9 says, And this is what he's saying, that we're talking about righteousness. He says, and may be found in him. This is talking about Jesus. This is Paul, just a few scriptures before what we're reading right now. He says, not having a righteousness of my own, right, delivered, derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith. I say it over and over because, see, in the world, we'll talk about that, they're not going to give you grace. Your grace is going to come from him, and then we're going to extend that out to one another, amen? Vertically and then horizontally. So we got to understand, Paul says, hey, look. He says, and forgetting these things behind, he first had to say, look, my righteousness is by putting my faith and trust in Jesus Christ, in him alone, in him alone. Once again, say, my righteousness, my cleansing of sin, my right standing in him is by faith alone in the finished work of the cross. And it says, in the first promise is what Paul said in the book of Galatians, and as a first promise of God saying, this is true and this is real, I'm going to give you my Holy Spirit. Your Holy Spirit's going to indwell. You're going to have a deposit of the third person, the Holy Spirit, in you. You're going to have a deposit of heaven in you, because it also says that we're seated with him in heavenly places. How can that be? Because I'm here on earth. I see you. I don't see him yet. I will see him. You will see him. I don't see him yet. How can I be seated with him in heavenly places? It's through the Holy Spirit, the third person who lives in you and in me at the same time. A part of the Holy Spirit in all of us right now. That's too magnificent for me to even understand how precious it is, not only to be washed in the blood of Jesus, but to house, I am the temple of God, to house the Holy Spirit. How precious that is, amen? That's amazing. That is too awe. I can't even comprehend that. I don't quite understand it. How that sometimes I feel so weak, but yet he's still there, still encouraging me, still strengthening me in the middle of that weakness, where the world says when you're weak, you're at a disadvantage. But the Holy Spirit says this morning, when you're weak, that you're at an advantage, because the Holy Spirit is in you, and in weakness, his power is displayed through you and I. Hallelujah, hallelujah. That's true, true, true statements right there from the Word of God. Amen and amen. His righteousness. And he says, not that I have grasped it all, amen, but I press on to take hold of what took hold of me, amen. Take hold of what? To continue to know him more and more and more. We'll have, you know, our knowing him doesn't start when we see him face to face. Our knowing him and more understanding his goodness, his kindness, his faithfulness, his meekness, his kindness starts right now. When you and I die, or when Jesus comes again and he catches us up on the air to be with him forever, it just continues. It just then, we're doing it in a whole different dimension and realm, amen? We don't have this body of flesh anymore, amen? But our knowing him starts today. It doesn't start then. It starts right now, day by day, minute by minute. I get to glorify him. I get to honor him. I get to bless him. I get to say, thank you, Lord, for providing all my needs. Thank you for setting me free. Thank you for blessing my family. Thank you, Father, for leading and guiding me. We get to do, and we continue to do that. He continues to reveal his faithfulness. He continues to reveal his goodness. He continues to reveal his kindness to you and I. Hallelujah. Are you out there this morning? I know it's New Year's Day. But every once in a while, I need someone to say amen, or oh me, something. I don't want to go sleep up here either. Because this is what Paul says in Philippians 3:10. Wow, you think of who Paul is, right? Just think of the apostle to the Gentiles. All the revelations that he had. All that God revealed to him. All his goodness, God delivering him from one after another of things, that trials and tribulations. And he says this, that I may know him. Philippians 3, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. What I've come to realize is this fellowship of his sufferings is not God bringing sickness and disease on me and punishing me. It's just that when the enemy of this world brings things against me, it's an opportunity for God to reveal his goodness for me. See, if you're facing something right now that seems hard or that you can't, you don't feel like you can do, you can't. But it gives an opportunity for you to lean into him and say, Lord, help me. Help me. Lead me. Guide me. Deliver me. See, the fellowship of his suffering is that that everything that comes against you, God gives you the victory. And even when you fail, he's still there. Though a just man falls seven times, amen, he gets up again. But I look at it this way, like when Peter said to Jesus, shall I forgive my brother seven times? Is that what he said? He said, no, seven times, yes. Man, we skin our knees. That's what he's saying is get up, keep following me. Even in our failures, it's a continue in our sufferings on this earth that nobody can get past. I'm sorry. But it's an opportunity for him to show himself faithful on your behalf and my behalf. We're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. I said we're more than conquerors through Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. I saw one of my favorite sayings is he has not called us to cope. He's called us to conquer. Hallelujah. Man, I don't want to just cope in this life. I want to conquer. I am conquering in this life. How about you? I want to be a conqueror in this life. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. That I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death. Dead to sin. Sometimes we just have to go through things and say, I'm done with that, Lord. That didn't bring any joy, didn't bring any peace, didn't bring me any closer to you. I'm done with that. And the Lord is saying, come on, I've been waiting. I've been waiting. I love you. Come on, I've been waiting. Hallelujah. That brings joy to my heart, that he never leaves us nor forsakes us, his children. And it's just putting your trust, and it's what it is putting your faith and trust in him and not yourself, not in the world system, not in your own ability, not in your own righteousness. The scales are never going to weigh in your balance if you want to say, hey, yeah, I've done a good enough good to outweigh the bad. No, it doesn't work that way. It's where all those scales are washed away by the blood of the Lamb. Amen? Washed away by the blood of the Lamb. And then his righteousness comes forth out of you unto good works. We'll talk about it a little bit more. But man, he doesn't just balance the scale. Man, he washes the scale away. If it's a scale system, it don't work. It will never work. It'll lead to where you don't have confidence. It'll lead to burnout, whatever it is, trying to do what you need to do to earn his favor. I like that when we give our lives to him, we are in his favor. And then it's our job to trust him to come into maturity, to come into maturity. Amen. So coming back to this, I said that Paul says, one thing I do, forgetting those what lies behind. I can't change my miserable mistakes and shortcomings of last year. How about you? Can you change any? Did anybody have some shortcomings? But I know I did. If you didn't, God bless you. Please let me know what you did. I can't change my mistakes and shortcomings of last year, but I can press forward in trusting him. Amen. I can't change others' behaviors, but I can choose to walk in forgiveness free of unforgiveness. Pointing fingers at others' failures will keep you blind to your own. I'm telling you. I say this a lot because we live in a generation, we live in a world today. And look, I have to say this, I'm not making any excuse in saying it's okay people that have undergone abuse. That's not okay. There's so many horrible cases of abuse, so those that are being trafficked. But then I love hearing things like a testimony that of people that have undergone awful abuse that have been set free by God. Not that they submit themselves to that ever again, but they say, I forgive that person, and I move forward in the Lord. Amen. I was thinking I'm going to take a little bunny trail here. Hezekiah. King Hezekiah, remember he was a godly king of Israel, of Judea. And the great prophet Isaiah comes to him and says, get your house in order, you're going to die. And he started saying, but I've been righteous. Well, that's only half truth. Was he truly righteous? I mean, he had a heart for God, but he wasn't perfect. So he started talking about his righteousness and the things that he had done. And it says he turned to the wall where he was in his bed, his sick bed, and he began to weep. And he said, Lord, I don't want to die. Isaiah didn't get out of wherever he lived, his home, his castle. Came back and said, the Lord heard you, and he says he's given you 15 more years. See, the goodness of God, and even then, Hezekiah says, what will the sign be? What's that sign going to be? And Isaiah said, well, here's the sign that you can either have time move forward or it can move backwards. Time. And listen, as somebody says that, they said that either way was about 20 minutes. And for Hezekiah, King Hezekiah, you know what it takes to go back in time 20 minutes? I was listening to something. They were saying, if you move back time, gravity, everybody be slung off the earth. Everything that's in place in this world is, you don't go back in time. But for Hezekiah and Hezekiah alone, God moved the clock, time back 20 minutes. And as I was thinking about that, I started thinking, you know what, God, in the supernatural, you move time back in our lives to heal, to deliver, to make us whole, to set us free, to make things that have happened as if they never happened again. If you don't believe that, that means that you'll always hold on to that memory. Like I said, it's not just an abuse, but God can move back in time because he lives outside of time. I said he lives outside of time by the Holy Spirit going back in time in healing hearts, setting captives free, truly free by the power and the anointing of God. God lives outside of time. He moved things back in the natural for Hezekiah. For you and I, he goes back in time, washes all our sins away, sets the captives free, delivers us, amen, makes us right in their sight. How can he do it? It's only by the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit going back in time. He removes every stain, every darkness, those things that still haunt you. Those areas where you're still angry, resentful, and you're like, I deserve to be angry and resentful. You don't know what happened to me, but you know what? It only holds you back. It'll blind you to the future. If you're not, unforgiveness and resentment allows deception without you not even realizing it, deception to creep in. And I mention that because it's a thing now in our society to blame others for everything that's happened. Everything that happened, blaming others. It's not just, it's in the church too. Like I said, I'm not making excuses, but the Holy Spirit, by his power, going back in time, delivering, setting free, making us whole in him. Hallelujah. Our God lives outside of time. I love it that when we bring things, then he can wash that, and then we can move forward. Some people can't move forward. They think they are, but they really aren't because they have not let go of that. Amen. Let the power of the Holy Spirit this year, 2023, say, Lord, I'm letting go of those things. I'm forgiving. I'm allowing you to cleanse and heal me, make me whole, strengthen me, giving me ability. That's true preaching right there. That's what the gospel, I said, that's what the gospel. There's only one thing that can do that in a person's life. There's only one thing in all the university, and that's the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's why they call it the news, the good news. Meaning it's almost too good to be true. Is that possible? It is very possible. Amen? I'm not saying it doesn't take some time. I'm not saying that you're not going to battle with it. But you just say, Lord, I keep giving it to you. Hallelujah, I keep giving it to you. I keep giving it to you. I keep praying for that individual, Lord. Touch them, whatever the case is. And if you'll continue to do that, it'll lose its hold off you. And the Holy Spirit will bring healing to your soul, where it will no longer be a memory. You ever have where you're upset at people and you start having a conversation with them in your mind? or you get done, you had a conversation with him, he's, I should have said this. We tend to nurse and rehearse. Lord, help us by the power of the Holy Spirit not to do any more nursing and rehearsing in Jesus' name. I'm telling you, if it's an epidemic in society, you know that the church struggles with it. I said, if it's an epidemic in society, you know that the church struggles with it. Because all the world tries to get all of that stuff to bleed in into your lives and my lives to keep us crippled in a way. Amen? To keep us crippled. And how many people know he has healed us? He set us free. Hallelujah. He makes somebody that wasn't worth a nickel in the world's eye a shining example in the of God to people around them. Amen? He loves doing that. Hallelujah. You have great value. It doesn't matter who you are. You have great value to him. Oh, how he loves you. I said, how he loves you. It doesn't matter how you were treated. It doesn't matter things said to you, how you were raised. The word of God, the planting of the word of God in your heart, by the power of God, will allow you slowly but surely to realize what God thinks about you and how precious you are in his sight. And when people, you've heard pastors say that if you were the only person in the world, he would die for you. That is a true statement because you're made in God's image. You are made in God's image. You are precious in his sight. Oh, how he loves you. How he's for you. The enemy can convince us that the enemy, that God is not really for us, then we remain lame. But we realize, man, even in all the struggles, forgetting what's behind, amen, we're precious in his sight, of great value. You know, I think of people in the Bible, people like Lazarus, who God raised from the dead, amen? Hey, he is of no greater value than you and I, amen? But I don't know about you, the miracle of raising me from the dead, being born again, is as great a miracle as Lazarus being raised in the natural. How about you? You being born again, a new creation, is as great of a miracle as anybody being raised from the dead. I was once dead, but now I'm alive. I was once blind, but now I see. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen and amen. Amen and amen. He said Paul's statements for forgetting the past were for good reason. 1 Corinthians 5:7-10. This is Paul talking about his past a little bit. And he says, then he appeared to James. He's talking about him being an apostle and what he thought he was as an apostle. He says, then he appeared to James, then to all the apostles. And last of all, as to one untimely born, this is Paul, he appeared to me also, Paul says. For I am the least of the apostles and not fit to be called an apostle because I persecuted the church of God. But by the grace of God, listen to this, saints, this is the same for all of us. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace toward me did not prove vain. I don't know about you, but his grace in my life will not prove vain. How about you? How about you? He says, but then he says, this is what happened. I went from being icky. An enemy of the cross, he says, but I labored more than them all. He's talking about the apostles. Yet not I, but the grace of God in me or with me. He says, man, I don't deserve. You know, I was thinking he was there when Stephen was, he held everybody's coats when they stoned Stephen. They said, here, he was sitting there and they said, hey, you hold all our coats. Why we stoned to death the martyred Stephen. Remember Stephen the martyr? And so he held all their coats while they were killing him, stoning him to death, brutal death. I find it interesting, you know, they tried to stone, one account where they tried to stone Paul. They left him for dead. And it says that he got up. They thought, man, this guy is dead. And he got up and went into town. What's interesting, during that time frame, they think that when he was stoned and they left him for dead, that he had this great revelation that he talks about in 2 Corinthians where he went to the third heaven, where he said, I saw things that I can't even mention. I heard things that I could not even mention. This is what's ironic. He went from helping somebody stone, a group of people stoned somebody. And he was being stoned. And religion would say this, yep, he's getting what he deserved. See, the Murphy's Law is coming around to him. He had stoned somebody and helped kill somebody, and so he's getting what he deserves. But, you know, that's not what happened. He might have been stoned, but during that time, God was revealing his glory to him. God was revealing. He wasn't getting paid back for what he'd done. Opposite, God gave him a revelation, and he saw things, he says, that I can't even utter. So the opposite happened. Yes, they were trying to kill him and stone him, and it wasn't a thing where the enemy, you get what you deserve. No, on the opposite side, God revealed his goodness to him. As he had been one who had stoned somebody or been the part of that, now when somebody was doing the same thing to him, God says, let me show you something that few people ever get to see. God restored him, forgot everything of his past, his killing of Christians, his putting him in jail, his bringing great fear to the Christians. And on the opposite end, when they tried to do it to him, God says, I'm going to show you my glory. Isn't God's grace good? Isn't God's goodness good? See, don't have this mindset that, man, look at the things I've done. Now, we do have a sowing and reaping. I don't look like I'm going to get there today with that. But the thing is when you give your life to the Lord, I've come to realize I don't get the things that I deserve. I put my trust in him. I'm actually getting his grace, his goodness, his taking care of me. If you're thinking that you're getting what you deserve, then you don't understand the gospel. God breaks those over people's lives. Paul did not get what he deserved. He deserved to be killed. He deserved to be hung out to dry. Instead, what did God do? Says, I'm going to give you a great revelation. When you realize that, man, your past is your past. Amen? Everything. Man, you press on forward. The things that God wants to show us. The things that God wants to reveal to us. The things that God wants to use us in. Man, he takes those things that have been in the past and wipes them clean. He says, let me show you a future. Instead of letting you die being stoned to death, I'm going to show you great and mighty things. Instead of giving back what you deserve, I'm going to shower you with my goodness. I'm going to shower you with my kindness. I'm going to shower you with my provision. I'm going to shower you with revelation. I'm going to show you how good of a God I am. Hallelujah! Paul. He deserved to die. He deserved to be stoned to death. It's just, to me, it just blows my mind. Instead of dying, he says, man, whether I was in the body or outside the body, I don't know. I just know I was caught up into third heaven and saw things that I can't even speak about. Hallelujah. Lord, I thank you that you take our past, wash it and cleanse us. Did you take things from the broken things we don't understand, and we give them to you. We forgetting those things that are behind us. We press on. And Lord, you have so many things to show us. You have so many things to reveal to us. You have so many things that you want to provide us. He loves to lavish his children. Do you believe that? I do. He loves, his kindness leads us to repentance. He's a good, good God. Amen. And even as Hezekiah says, God moves back time for 20 minutes for him? For one dude? For one guy just to show him how much he loves him? How much he cared for him? Amen? That's the kind of God you and I serve. The thing is, do you believe it? Thing is, do you receive it? Are you going to receive that and say, yes, Lord? And what I've come to realize, when I realize the goodness of God, it makes me say, Lord, every part of me wants to please you. I want to lay everything down that does not please you when we actually understand his goodness, when we actually understand his favor and grace on our lives. Father, we thank you for this new year. We're going to have to wrap this up next week, I feel. Father, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your love. Lord, I thank you that you can take things that bother 20 years ago, 10 years ago, 5 years ago, 5 minutes ago. Things that just they keep pulling at us. Things, how do we know? Things that we say, if only things had turned out this way, my life would have been this way. If only I'd done this, if only I hadn't made that mistake. If only I hadn't been in that marriage. If only I hadn't done this or done that. I'm glad that our God, when we say, Lord, wash that away with your blood. Wash my sins away. Father, forgive me my sins. That he does it. That the problem lies with you and I. Not with the eternal Father. It's just you and I. And as we say, Lord, thank you. 2023 is a new year. I don't know what's going to happen in politics. If I think about it right now, my head blows up. But I know one thing. As for me, my house, we're going to serve the Lord. I said, as for me, my house,
yes,
we're going to serve the Lord. See, America is going to be changed one family at a time. See this, the net that holds this country up. What's still being held up? It's families. It's families. Amen? And so what is he trying to do? He tries to destroy families. Amen. I learned a long time ago, regardless what happened in the back of my family, back in time, I've learned to say, Lord, I'm blazing a new trail.
Amen.
I'm forgiving everything in the background. I'm forgiving everything in the background. I'm letting those things go, and I'm blazing a new trail.
Yes.
Paul says, I don't want anything, but forgetting those things which are behind me and pressing. See, I'm like you. You're like me. I'm sure I don't quite understand this thing of grace and God's love that has a hold of me. I don't get it. Do you? I don't quite understand it. He reveals a little bit more. As time goes on, he continues to reveal more of his goodness to me. More of his goodness to me. What's the enemy? Enemy tries all his little tacks to get us off track, get us bound up in our past, to get us frustrated with what's going on around us. Anything to take our focus off of him onto that situation. But I don't know about you, this 2023, my resolve is, Lord, I am going to continue to trust you. I am going to continue not to hold any resentments, no unforgiveness. I'm going to let things grab a hold of me. Lord, I know one thing, the things that you've shown me now, the place where you put me now, I'm not going to give the enemy any ground. I'm done giving the enemy ground. I may have taken 10 steps back and only take one step forward, but I'm going to keep taking those steps. Amen? And he's able to restore with the cankerworm and the locust of Eden. I'm telling you, he's able to restore everything the enemy has stolen. Hallelujah. You believe that? Thank you, Jesus. A restorer. Thank you, Jesus. I thank you for your goodness and kindness, Lord. It pleases the Lord when we say, Lord, I'm putting my trust in you. I'm putting my trust in what you've done for me. Lord, I don't quite understand this thing that took a hold of me, but I press on to understand it. I press on to receive more from you. Can you stand up with me? Can we just talk to the Lord a little bit? Lord, say, Lord, I'm pressing forward. I'm pressing on in you. I'm forgetting what's behind me. And Lord, all those things, I know, Lord, karma would say I deserve this or do that or deserve that, but the blood of Jesus cancels that out in the name of Jesus. I am not going to get what I deserve in Jesus' name. If the enemy is telling you that you don't deserve this or that, you need to tell that lying voice of the enemy to shut up in Jesus' name. Because the truth of the matter is you'll never receive anything you deserve in yourself. Amen? It's all by the goodness of God. It's all by his love. It's all by his kindness. It's all by his grace. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! It makes you excited to be walking with the Lord Jesus. Amen? It puts a smile on your face. You cannot help it. People that can't put a smile on their faces because the past, somewhere, something still has a hold of them. So, Father, we thank you for breaking that in Jesus' name. Father, we thank you for a revelation of your goodness. Father, we thank you for a revelation of grace that breaks the power of sin over our lives. We thank you for purpose in 2023. Lord, I don't know the purposes of everybody here, but you do. And the first step is says, Lord, I'm a candidate for you to do anything you want to do in my life, Lord. Anything you want to do. I'm a candidate. I don't care where you're at in your life, your age, your young, how young you are, or how old you are. You're a candidate for the glory of God by the Holy Spirit to come out, come through you and out in Jesus' name. Whether it's praying for somebody in Safeway, whether it's encouraging a relative, amen, whether it's sowing seed, helping those in need, all for the glory of God. Father, how we bless you. Lord, next week as we talk about sowing and reaping and the power of that in the light of grace and mercy, Father God, we thank you for this week, Lord, as you take inventory of our heart, Lord, you say, man, I'm letting that go. No more. I'm not going to let discouragement take a lead or guide me anymore. I'm not going to let discouragement keep me fouled up in my heart. I'm giving it to you.
Yes.
Father, we love you. Just take him in. Father, we love you. Just tell him you love him. Father, just tell him, Lord, I belong to you. He knows it, but you need to tell yourself, saying, Lord, I belong to you. Thank you for leading and guiding my life in all truth. Thank you for leading and guiding my family. Thank you for blessing me. Thank you for exposing every trap of the enemy. Thank you for setting me free, those things that try to hinder me. Father, thank you for breaking those things in Jesus' name. Only you can break those things. And we thank you for breaking them this morning in the name of Jesus, the name above all names. Amen. At the name of the precious name of Jesus. We love you. We praise you. We honor you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We bless you. Can we just lift our hand and say, Lord, I bless you and I honor you. Hallelujah, Lord. Lord, we belong to you. Hallelujah. Lord, we belong to you. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We just take a minute and say, Lord, we belong to you, Jesus. We are your people. Lord, you are the potter. We are the clay. Hallelujah. Mold me and make me, Father, whatever it is in my life. We thank you for that. Thank you for that. Thank you for new creations in Christ Jesus. I am a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Amen. And all things are from him. Amen. Thank you. All things have passed away. 2022 passed away. New things. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name we pray. And all of God's people said, amen.